Please follow OK Fair Enough with Sean and Charlie on Facebook at facebook.com/OKFairEnough. Twitter, our Twitter handle is at OK Fair Enough Pod. And contact us by email at okfairenoughpodcast@gmail.com. OK is spelled just the letter O and the letter K. You can listen to the show at Podomatic at okfairenoughpodcast.podomatic.com. Please subscribe, comment, and rate us there. Or you can listen to us on Stitcher. We're still figuring out how to not be rejected by iTunes. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the show. Welcome to OK Fair Enough with Sean and Charlie. I'm Charlie. The kids are still on hiatus. In today's episode, Sean and I discuss fear. Basically, I'm afraid of everything, and Sean isn't, because Sean is a logical and mostly rational human being, and I am not, mostly. Towards the end of this episode, Sean explains why he doesn't fear death, at least as much as I do, or I think the average person does, with a beautiful and rational explanation that I will never be able to embrace due to a medical condition I have called cowardice. Also, we actually talk about music for the first 2 or 3 minutes, but it was fun, so we left it in. Just be glad I edited out our Eddie Vedder singing impressions. Oh, yeah. Fuck clowns. Enjoy the show, guys.
It's all about the evolution and the music.
That's my Eddie. That's my Eddie Vedder impression. You can see.
I don't know if I've ever actually heard him talk.
I've heard him talk, and
although
it's nothing to write home about.
I did hear a thing that about him that he drinks like 2-3 bottles of wine before he goes on stage, or at least he used to. I don't know if he still does it anymore.
I doubt he does anymore.
But yeah, he was a hardcore wino.
Oh sure,
like. He would not go on stage unless he had like 2 or 3 bottles of red wine.
Well, I mean, he Eddie Vedder, I mean, when they were first starting with the 10 album, I mean, they were...
Such a good fucking album. It's still, to this day, probably the best album ever.
It's got to be in my top, like, 10 of most favorite albums of the 90s, at least.
Oh, absolutely.
If not ever.
Yeah.
But he would literally, like, climb on... scaffolding, and it's like, if there was a camera guy there with like a boom and all that stuff, he would climb up on that. And his band members were all going like, you know, could you stop doing that, man? Because like,
got,
if you die,
no fear.
He's got no fear. if you die, we don't have a band. Yeah. So could you stop? Because a lot of the guys were from Mother Love Bone.
Yeah,
they already went through one lead singer dying.
Oh, so I don't know.
Oh, Mother Love Bone. Basically, from Mother Love Bone, there was a lead singer who died of a heroin overdose.
Okay.
And Mother Love Bone was supposed to be like the first big alternative band out of Seattle to really make it.
Okay.
And right when it looked like they were about to hit, he died.
Lovely.
Members from those two bands went on to form Pearl Jam and Soundgarden.
Okay, all right. I did know that there was. Yeah.
Think about how good Mother Love Bone must have been.
Yeah.
But I never heard Mother Love Bone.
Yeah.
Ever.
Although that doesn't necessarily, because there's a lot of times where guys will be great individual players, but as a collaboration, they don't always come out with that great of music.
Well,
now there are some that are also like. Are you a fan of Velvet Revolver at all?
Yeah, I've heard a few of their songs. I like it.
Yeah, I thought that was actually a pretty good collaboration. Not the best, but it was solid.
I'm just sick of Scott Weiland. Just OD and fucking get it over with.
Jeez.
Fucking Scott, I'm tired of your eyeliner and your furry hats. However, I think Slash is immortal. I think he's a fucking Highlander.
He's fucking awesome. What's cool is one of my favorite current bands, Alter Bridge. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Never heard of them.
Okay, I know this is not going to be a good endorsement to start out with,
right.
But they are basically Creed minus Scott Stapp, add a new much better singer. But see, here's the thing. That Creed was horrible because of Scott Stapp, for the most part. Like, Mark Tremonti, who's their guitarist, is probably one of the best guitarists in modern guitar.
I'm not arguing that the band in Creed isn't talented. I mean, they, like, I'm amazed when somebody's like, oh, wow, you want it to sound that way? And it sounds that way.
Yeah.
That blows my mind. I remember, like, yeah, no, Scott Stapp, him too. Just fucking OD and die already. There are some people, like, fear! We're talking about fear!
Well, real quick, what I was getting to was Miles Kennedy, who's the lead singer of Alter Bridge, toured with Slash.
Oh,
he was his lead singer, and he's got a great voice, because he's got one of the eight octave range voices, which is very rare. There's only
kind of like the dude from Journey?
Yeah, a dude from Journey. Roy Orbison is another guy who has the same octave range. I'm trying to think of a couple. There's very few in the music world.
Mariah Carey probably can do that.
She can't get low range. See, that's the thing. She can hit high, but she can't hit low.
No, little known fact about Mariah Carey. She can hit notes that only dogs can hear. Which is how she ended up with Nick Cannon.
Although Mariah Carey might be one of them. I don't remember the list of people, but anyway.
Now, we were talking about Eddie Vedder and how he had no fear, which makes me wonder... Does he have Urbeck wife disease? seamless transitions.
Yeah. The damaged amygdala.
Yeah, they're two small almond-shaped parts of your brain, kind of at the base of your skull, I believe, that calcify. Hmm. And that's what controls your fear center.
Yeah, it's the fight or flight.
Yeah, and there is none. Hmm. There is none. You don't have fight or flight. You have no fear. You don't understand the idea of... I don't know if you can understand the idea of danger without the idea of fear.
Yeah.
Which
is pretty interesting because a lot of people would say, oh, that sounds awesome. I wish I had that. But then maybe, like, if you put yourself in those shoes, maybe that's not necessarily a good thing because that could have some pretty crazy negative benefits.
The reason I'm glad you brought that up because there are only 400 people that have it.
Okay.
In the world. And there's this one lady in Iowa. They've been studying for 30 years. And when you mentioned, hey, let's talk about Urbeck Wythe, I just listened to a podcast about this. Mm-hmm. And they weren't allowed to use the lady's name.
Hmm.
She is discouraged from telling anyone about this disease.
Well, I guess it's a good thing, 'cause they don't want that interaction. Like, maybe she'd become, like, people would try to...
Her total and complete absence of fear makes her a very easy victim and target.
Absolutely.
She's been cut by derelicts on the street a couple of times, because they, like, you know, you're walking down the streets of Charlottesville, and you see some guy sitting there muttering to himself, playing with a fucking razor knife, you're gonna go to the other side of the street.
No, fuck that, man. I'm taking that.
You're just walking right up to him going, what's your problem, motherfucker? I
don't walk the streets of Charlottesville.
I was going to say, I would walk across the street and pee simultaneously because that would scare the shit out of me. But, like, when a guy, with this woman, when a guy that does that says, hey, come here,
fuck you.
They go, no, thank you. And we walk away. She goes, oh, okay, what's up? And she would walk right up to him. They'd be like, I'm going to cut your fucking face. And she goes, oh, okay, if you're going to cut my face, then just do it. Just know I'm going to come at you because they can still experience every other emotion. They can experience anger and sadness and happiness and joy and all that stuff, mm-hmm. jealousy. They can experience all of that. They just can't experience fear. Yeah. And I can't imagine how good a night's sleep this woman must have. All the time. Also, with Urbeck Wythe, there are a couple other little strange things where that disease manifests itself physically.
Mm-hmm.
Their voice tends to be raspier.
Hmm.
Like, they kind of tend to talk like this.
And that's they develop from the pack a day.
No. That's just what comes.
They have no fear of cigarettes. It's like, yeah, they have these warnings, but I don't feel anything.
Yes. I don't feel any cancer. We're fine.
I don't feel any cancer.
And they also develop these weird little, like, fatty pustules, like, around their eyes.
Okay.
Like little beads of
but that's not
stuff.
Exclusive to that disease, but that's a...
It is connected to it somehow.
I think that's actually also connected to some other, like, heart diseases, actually.
Is it?
There some... Yeah, there is one that I think my grandfather had, because he had some of those.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember whether or not it was diabetes or heart disease,
but
anyway.
This one is specifically linked to Urbeck Wythe, and obviously...
Maybe it's a different type, or maybe it's similar.
Or maybe
it's the same process as doing it.
Yeah, well, I mean, your brain is what causes your body to do all this shit anyway, right? Yeah. So, the idea of how I've mentioned this to a friend of mine yesterday, this specific disease, and he just goes, that sounds amazing.
But I really think that that's like a narrow-minded view of it, because they're thinking of it from their aspect, which is
fear holds them back.
Yeah, how they have a particular fear that they would love to overcome, but they can't.
Right.
So they would think that that would benefit them, but that's in a one situation. They don't think about all the good things that fear actually helps them with.
Exactly. Fear is the reason why I would never have sex with a hooker without a condom. Fear is
the reason I probably will never have children.
Be afraid. Be very afraid, little bastards.
You know what? I have plenty of nieces and nephews. I have friends that are probably going to have kids. I'll have experiences where I can, you know, enjoy kids' success without actually having to take them home and change their diapers.
Well, yeah. Oh, and there are some scary goddamn diapers in the world. Oh. You heard the term blowout? Is when the kid literally takes a shit and somehow it escapes through the top of their diaper and their back up to their neck is covered in shit.
Well, this isn't
terrifying.
This isn't on topic, but, you know, this could go in our food section, but a lot of the foods that we eat clog us up. And so, when you take a shit, Your shit's supposed to look like your fucking forearm. That's how, like, that's
And you see, I'm looking
colon.
At your forearm, and all I'm thinking about is a dude getting fucked by a horse. That's what you did to me.
But anyways,
re-listen to episode 6. Feel my pain.
But yeah, I mean, it's the fear is a very interesting
emotion. And it's a necessary one.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of evolutionary aspects too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you think about it, you take two different, let's say we go back cavemen, two different cavemen, one that could experience fear, one couldn't. Rustling in the leaves, the guy without fear, hey, I wonder what that is.
Yeah.
He probably got eaten by the lion that was right behind it. You know, the guy who had, you know, flight or flight, he was like, I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
Or I'm going to at least wait and assess the situation.
Absolutely.
At a minimum. And
get my spear ready.
And you see fear in animals all the time. So the idea of a human being not having it is mind-blowing. My dog is afraid of fucking everything. That's why we get along so well, because I am too.
Well, see, it's kind of, you bring up animals, you can see fear. When you don't see fear, that's when you got to worry.
Yeah.
Because, like, rabid animals, they lose
show
the ability.
No
yeah.
fear.
They will fucking walk right up to you. If a raccoon or a fucking fox or something walks up to you, get the fuck away from that thing.
Yeah.
It will bite you and you will have rabies for the most part.
Yay,
or
rabies!
Or AIDS. One of the two. I'm not quite sure.
I have a question for you about some of the notes you sent me about fear.
Okay.
And you said dreams and or nightmares, and then parentheses, Ronald McDonald and the Penguin.
Okay, so when I was a kid,
now, do you mean the penguin that's flying around by its cock?
Or not that. But that penguin I have good dreams about.
Or are you talking about the Batman penguin?
I'm talking about the Batman penguin. It's not the exact, what's the word I'm looking for? But anyway, I'll get into that.
Yeah.
I'll start with the Ronald McDonald thing. When I was a kid, I had four or five dreams that I would have recurringly often. Like, I'm talking like once a week.
Okay.
One of the dreams, I lived on, you remember the house we had over on 770, I think it was, or it was on 522.
The one that burned up.
Yeah. Well, the way it was, the road was kind of dug down after they did all that construction where the road was below. Well, I have this dream where it's very foggy. I'm on my bike and my shoelace gets tangled up inside my bike chain. So I can't move.
Okay.
Ronald McDonald with it teeth, like from the movie It. So he looks like cross. What is his name? Pennywise.
Yeah,
with Ronald McDonald.
I'm with you so far. I'm fucking terrified.
Get that image in your head, and he's running at me, but he's running at me in slow motion.
Oh god, that makes it even worse.
So it's like in the whole thing, and so the whole dream is just me watching him run towards me, and me trying to get my fucking shoelace. So that's one of them.
Clowns scare the fuck out of me. Go on.
Well, we'll get into that.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
And then the other one is about with the penguin. Now, the penguin, not Danny DeVito penguin, because that would be actually,
Burgess Meredith?
No, not even that. It's just like a cartoon version of it. But it's
Batman animated series.
Kind of. But what it was I was running through these different areas. Like, one was inside a house that wasn't mine. It was just some random house. One was this party that I would go to, but I would be trying to get away from him. Yeah. And it didn't matter how fast I ran, where I went, I would hide. He would always find me. But he kept wanting to shoot this, like, green fucking spray at me or something like that.
That sounds like the Penguin's M.O.
Yeah. But that
he's
was
usually spraying green spray at shit.
I don't know if it was his semen or what it was, but
he was
a pedophile. So, but no, I would go to these different areas. Like, I would go to I'd run away. I'd go to this party, and I would be there, and he would somehow fucking find me. You know?
Oh, my God.
And so those were two of the reoccurring dreams. But, like, you think of fear, and I don't really have – I'm not afraid of clowns. I don't like clowns particularly because nobody does. Because they did a study. Clowns, nobody likes clowns. The only people.
Then why the fuck do we have them?
Because they're ingrained in our society. They've been around for so long. But they did a study. The kids are scared of clowns. It doesn't matter what they look like.
I was not afraid of clowns until the year 1990. When we moved into a brand new house that wasn't really finished, and it's settling and it's creaking, and my parents said, Hey, Charlie, there's this cool miniseries on. It's called Stephen King's It.
Yeah.
You want to watch it? And the entire, and so I'm 11 years old.
Boy, you want to believe?
Yeah, oh, we all float down here, Georgie. Your fucking brother
would do that.
Yes. All the time. And see, the thing is, when I was in college, I finally was like, I'm ready to read the book now.
Okay.
I finally got over it. Because, I mean, when I'm 11 and, the house is creaking and groaning because it's new and it's settling, I'm just like, it's fucking Pennywise. He's coming for me, and Pennywise is going to eat my face.
Can we all just agree that the ending was fucking horrible, though? He's a fucking alien, really? That's what this
the book
or the movie miniseries or the or I don't know what. Actually, I never read the book. I've only seen part of the miniseries, but that's what he is in, at the end, right?
It, well, but not exactly. He is an entity that is older than time.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah. I know.
Stephen King's The Stand is still so much better.
Well, dude.
The miniseries The Stand was so great.
There are times I read a Stephen King novel and I'm just like, how much coke was he doing when he wrote this?
See, I don't read. Oh. I know that's a weird thing for somebody
for a scientist to say.
Yeah, but not really. I mean, I'll read a scientific paper. I have no problem with that. I don't read
but
books.
But fun stuff, no good.
It's not fun to me.
Okay.
I would much rather watch a movie or play a video game than read a fucking book. Because my mind wanders. I'll be sitting there reading the paragraph, and the next thing I know, I'm thinking about
horse fucking a man. I am never forgetting you for that.
That's cool.
I think that, but I read it when I was in college, and it's the only book I've ever read that genuinely scared me. Okay. I was 20 years old and sleeping with the light on because I was so goddamn scared.
You pussy.
And your brother and I at the time were working at a gated community as gate guards. We were laid off by a mechanized arm.
Interesting. I do remember when you worked at Shenandoah Crossroads, right?
No, it was Blue Ridge Shores.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we
yeah,
had
yeah.
CBs at each guard shack, and your brother and I would work at the same time usually, and I'd be sitting there reading, waiting for a car to come through. You waited 8 hours, and you really only did about 10 minutes of work.
Oh, I was a security guard one time.
Yeah, it fucking sucked. But all of a sudden, over the CB, I would just hear, "Hi, Georgie."
"Hi, Georgie."
And I just get him be like, "Dude, fuck you! Stop doing that!" And I'd put the CB thing down, and they'd just be like, "We have balloons." And I'm like, "Fuck you and your balloons." And the worst part is that this CB was hooked up to the manager of Blue Ridge Shores and the one police officer they actually had.
Oh, shit.
So he'd be like, one day he's like, "Hey, guys, seriously, stop screwing around on this. I need to know if people are getting murdered." It's just like, all right, sorry. A recurring dream that I have, because one of my biggest fears in life is that someday my wife will wise up and leave. Hi, yeah, honey.
I'm still confused about this whole situation.
I don't understand why my wife is with me. I'm thankful that she is. God bless her. She's been slumming for 18 years. Yeah. Thank you, baby. I love you.
I think she's just giving up hope at this point.
But a recurring nightmare that I have about my wife is I walk in and she's fucking somebody. And I go, "What are you doing?"
I have that same dream. But I'm on the different aspects. So that's a joke. I'm just joking, Renee.
I find it flattering if you're dreaming about fucking my wife. Or dreaming about my wife fucking somebody. And I got to tell you, don't get me wrong. When I first walk in, it's just like, "Oh, wife's naked. Nice. Hey, what's that under her? That's not my dick." And like some of the situations is like she's fucking somebody that is like I know in a million years she would never do. Oh, that is my... Sorry, I'm going to turn off my ringer. But she... but the worst part about the dream isn't that I walk in on my wife fucking another guy. It's that she's so, like, completely indifferent about how I feel about it in the dream.
Yeah, no,
I'll be like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "What does it look like I'm doing? I'm fucking your friend." I'm like, "Well, stop." "No. Why don't you go pick me up a pizza, you fat fuck?" I mean, like, and if you've ever met my wife, she is one of the kindest and sweetest people in the history of the world.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mother Teresa is a cunt compared to my wife.
Well, let's not get into that. But anyway.
Okay. And she, in these dreams, she is just a completely different person. And it's so, and I wake up and I'll roll over and I'll just look at her. I'll just be like, "You bitch." Even though she didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
She's just sitting there snoring very softly and cutely. She has the cutest little snores. But yeah, that's a recurring one. And I almost always have a dream where I'm trying to run away from something or run to something, but it's like I'm running waist deep in water. And I can't go fast.
I have the same ones. Yeah,
which is actually strangely faster than I run in real life.
Yeah. Did you ever have any falling dreams?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, which is, you know, I do have a... It's weird. They say there's the fear of heights. And I think there's a very distinct difference between the fear of heights and the fear of falling from great height.
Well, no, that's...
Because that's my fear. My fear isn't that I'm up high, because that doesn't bother
me. My fear is the thud at the end.
Yeah. If I fell... No. It's not dying from a fall that would fuck with me. It's living from a fall that would fuck with me.
Oh, no. Living, dying, anything having to do with falling,
The idea that I will fall 50 feet and live... fucks with me the most, because I fear being a vegetable more than anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think I kind of dig the idea of being a vegetable.
Really? Yeah. Fuck, you are already.
No, I can talk.
You pumpkin.
Actually, if anything. Oh. No,
that's pretty cool. Actually mean, no, it's a gourd.
my fear is becoming a pumpkin. No, I think being a vegetable would be really relaxing. Like, just like, of course, that means I have a lot of Renee fucking other guy dreams. But yeah, so far as personal fears are concerned, I am terrified of heights. If I stand on a chair, my nuts suck up into my stomach. I hate heights. I figured out I may actually be slightly claustrophobic.
Yeah. Oh, that's my
really?
Big one.
Really?
Oh yeah. And what's funny is
so have you ever had an MRI?
My lovely no, I never. Oh, I did on my knee, but I wasn't inside of it.
Oh, see,
and actually, that probably wouldn't bother me. It's very specific. My claustrophobia is very specific. It's I have to be in an area where I know I can't get out of.
Okay.
Like if I can never go in like a tunnel. Like a very small tunnel, like where it's only enough room. Like not being able to move around, because I'm very flaily.
Okay.
Not being able to move around.
So not like driving through a tunnel.
No. I mean like a small like manhole or something where there's only enough room to barely move.
Have you done this
move.
A lot? How'd you figure this out about yourself?
Just thinking about it fucks with me.
Really?
Like thinking about being in a tight space fucks with me.
Wow.
And what's weird is my
but like elevators are cool with you.
No problem.
Oh, wow. Okay.
My lovely brother growing up knew that I had this weird fear. So what he would do was he would take a sleeping bag. He would throw it over top of me, lay on me, and laugh his ass off because he loved the fact that I was crying my head off underneath this blanket. Well, he would also fart into it, but that's a different story.
Well, that's what older brothers do.
Yeah, no, I'm not
saying
that.
And their friends.
I'm not saying
that.
Yeah, no,
I really bad about it.
I remember sometimes that you were there. I do remember that.
God.
I mean, you know, it is what it is, but I don't know if it exacerbated it or if it was just already seated at that point anyway.
Well, the question is when it comes to claustrophobia. Because, like, when it comes to my fear of heights, I can point to specific things that happened to me when I was a child, like, under the age of 5, that kind of fed it.
Yeah.
Like, when we lived in Jersey, we had a back porch, and I remember I was, like, leaning over the railing being stupid, fell into the hedges below.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, I came out unscathed, except for crippling psychological damage.
See, that's the thing. You could physically be fine, but your mind is fucked at that point.
No, and to this day, if I see my kids leaning over a railing, I'm like, get back.
No,
get the fuck back.
You realize you're downloading them with all your negativity and fears. That's another reason I don't want fucking kids, because there don't need to be another me around.
Oh, no, don't
There's enough
wrong.
Of me. It's done.
I totally and completely understand that I am ruining my children. I'm ruining them. Just because my own fears and bullshit.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can't... See, that's the thing. Like, I wouldn't... I don't know why I'm giving you advice about being a parent, but I think parents, you know, they're inside, so they don't really see it from a broader perspective.
Yeah.
That you, yes, are having an effect on your children, but you have a smaller effect than you think you do. There's a lot of other things that go into...
Of course. There's your own chemistry and your own brain and all that shit.
Your own experiences, what you experience outside of where it's in school. Especially, you know, nowadays, you know, back in the 1800s when you were with your parents pretty weird because, you know, maybe you worked all the time or...
Well, you're on a farm.
You're on a farm. You don't fucking go anywhere.
You don't see people.
Yeah, so...
Back then it was uncommon. It was uncommon for somebody to travel more than 20 miles from where they were born.
Yeah. As opposed to today, where there's a large portion of the day where the kids are nowhere near their parents. They're at school, they're with a caregiver, they're...
And they are shaped a lot more by their teachers and their friends than we would like
and
to believe.
Porn.
And their porn! okay, I guess we have to mention porn at least once an episode,
Little Eddie watching.
And actually, you know what, though? That is one big fear that I do have, is that someday my daughter will do porn.
Yeah.
I don't really think that'll happen.
Probably not. I mean, the amount of... Well, at least...
But I know that I'll see it by accident.
Yeah, oh, God. If she does it...
Like, and that's what I'm... And that's going to create a very awkward conversation where it's like, Marley, here's the thing. If you ever do porn, I'm going to know. How are you going to know, Dad? You don't have to worry about that.
Too much.
That's none of your business. You just don't do it. So yeah, I now.
There were some weird... I was looking up this one website, and it's like lists of fears, and it's amazing, you know, list of phobias.
Yeah,
and the different phobias that come up, and one that kind of stuck out to me that... and this is completely self-serving. But anyway, there's this fear... It's the fear of garlic, which is very weird, and I'll get to why this is self-serving in a second.
Yeah, I know.
It's called allium phobia. It's a very weird name. But I was thinking, you know, fear of garlic... I wonder if that's like a vampire thing. Like, are they afraid of garlic, or does it actually hurt them? That's what I'm kind of...
Vampires?
Yeah.
Well...
I know this is completely fictional, because there aren't vampires.
I think they're afraid of it because it hurts them.
Because it hurts them?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, like, I'm afraid of guns.
Because they hurt you?
Well, they could.
I guess they could.
They could. I mean, in the wrong hands.
Yeah. Not by themselves, though. They wouldn't just be sitting there. Well, unless it, like, heated up, but that... No,
yeah. Cool. Yeah, no, I mean, I figured that out not too that long ago. Guns scare the shit out of me. Even though I own them and have owned pistols and everything, I realize, like, these things actually scare me.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's one reason why I don't want them in there anymore. Hmm.
Interesting. So, I have no problem with guns, but back to the fear of garlic.
We
ordered Papa John's when we were recording a couple times ago, and I don't know how we got to this, but
we were talking for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's probably more than that. We were talking about porn because that's what we do.
Yeah,
and you know, garlic butter from Papa John's is very viscous. It could work as a lube if you wanted it to. And so my thought was, wouldn't it be interesting if the True Blood, because it's all fucking vampires fucking each other on True Blood, what would happen if they replaced the lube with garlic sauce? It's a new storyline, and that's how the series True Blood will end. They get a bad batch of lube, and it turns out to be garlic butter.
Well, you know,
and
the series did end.
Did it? I don't fucking care. And if I look at it for titties, I'll see Ann Paquin's a couple times.
I watched it till season 3, and then they decided everybody in that goddamn town had to be magic, and I was just like, I'm fucking done. I'm done. Show me Anna Paquin getting railed by a fucking vampire over and over again. With garlic butter or no?
Fair enough.
It reminds me of a Jimmy Carr joke, which my girlfriend and I used to smoke after sex. No, sorry, used to smoke after sex, but then we started using lubricant, which is, if you did use garlic butter on a vampire's dick,
there would be a lot of smoke.
I guess it would be smoking the whole way through. that's just awful. So far as weird fears are concerned, there's the weird of clowns, the agoraphobia, the fear of being outside.
Yeah.
I don't understand how that can be. Claustrophobia, I get. Agoraphobia, I don't get.
Well, there was actually an episode of House that kind of touched on that. There was a guy.
Two things we always talk about: porn and the House MD show.
I have watched that show so many times. It's just a great. And it's got. And what's, you know, like the episode was, what had happened was the guy was out with his wife or fiance, I don't remember, and they got mugged and she was killed.
Yeah.
So after that point, he shut himself off, and it wasn't really. I don't know if it was necessarily agoraphobia. I guess it would be classified as that. Yeah. But his fear wasn't going outside or human interaction. It was, he was basically punishing himself for, because he felt he was
responsible.
Responsible.
Well, and just so this fictional character knows, you were responsible.
Yeah,
it's your fault.
Possibly,
you had it coming. No,
but anyway, the whole, you know, I don't get it, but I don't have it. So it's hard for me to make a decision. But, I mean, I could see it because I've seen some weird shit. People are afraid of some really strange things. Like, you can understand fear of spiders because they're creepy and crawly and they fuck with
you. Fear of snakes.
Or fear of getting bit by something.
Yeah. You know?
I don't dislike snakes, but I just worry about the ones that fucking kill me. Like, those are the ones that fucking...
You know what? I did listen to something recently where they talked about somebody's specific fear of snakes. And one of the reasons that they mentioned that they are so afraid of snakes is because how the fuck do they move if you look at them... The way that they move shouldn't be possible.
It's the same way as your intestines work. It's the same way it moves food down. It's the muscles that contract and you know, your stomach.
Well, they slither, obviously.
Yeah, well, the food goes through by...
Right, well, what they were saying, because even if a snake is just slithering around and going... Technically, to be able to be mobile, it should pick up and move over and move in front, almost like a footstep, but they don't have feet. But that is what. But they have figured out that snakes, they actually do that. It's like a half a centimeter up and move over while up and move forward their belly while they're slithering. That sentence made no sense. Yeah. I apologize. But a lot of people, when they say, why are you afraid of snakes? That's their reason, is because the slithering specifically
it's the way
freaks
they move.
Me out. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Spiders freak me out because they're gross. That's all.
Interesting.
You know, and so far as homophobia is concerned.
That's not homophobia. I don't think that's fear.
I don't think that's fear. I think that's just good old-fashioned hatred.
Yeah.
I mean, because that means that you generally...
Well, the fear of the unknown, and that is, you know, a lot of people have that, where if they don't understand something, they're going to stay away from it. And maybe that's kind of the thing. But there is a hatred for homophobia.
Yeah. It shouldn't be called homophobia.
It should be called,
like...
Homo.
Hate the gay hate for the each other. hate the queer for each other. That's what it should be called.
Yes.
I mean, because if it is homophobia, then that technically means, I would think, if you are homophobic, that technically means you're kind of afraid that you're going to get fucked.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is kind of like that. That's that fear that they are themselves gay.
You know, and that's one thing about it that drives me nuts. Everybody's just like, oh, they're homophobic because they're gay themselves.
No, that's not necessarily. But
no, but every person I ever talked to is like, oh, you know why he hates gay people is because he thinks he's gay. It's like, that's fucking stupid. Because that's like saying that people in the Klan hate black people because they think they're black. That makes no sense to me. That's fucking stupid.
You got hate in your heart. Let it out. Walk out.
Oh, my God.
It's the Tyrone Bighams from the first day.
Oh,
of
right.
Call it a link. It's rice. Sounds like a Mexican dish. Fucking love that episode. It's so great.
God, the blind racist. That was brilliant on Chappelle's part.
Oh, so great.
But and you know, Chappelle makes, actually getting to fear.
Yeah,
Chappelle,
he was so afraid. Well, he was so afraid that he was making a negative impact. And people had said that to him, that, hey, have you ever thought that maybe some of your sketches are actually having a negative impact on
the culture?
On the culture.
On your people's culture.
Yeah.
He had his partner on the show was a guy named Neil Brennan.
Yeah.
And I've listened to him on a lot of podcasts. And he doesn't like talking about it because he feels it's disrespectful to Dave. But he said, think about this. He goes, all of a sudden, you are the comedic voice of black America.
Yeah.
Think about how terrifying that must be. Like, Chris Rock could handle it.
Well, because
Richard Pryor, I think, arguably could not.
Yeah.
Well, Richard Pryor had a lot of his own demons. I mean, he was raised by a hooker, and his dad was a
Well, parent. You could also make maybe not. I was going to say he might have been mildly racist towards white people in
Dude,
a way.
Richard
Pryor. There was a little bit. I'm not to say that wasn't kind of warranted, because in the time he lived was a much different time.
And we're going to talk about Richard Pryor in a few segments during six questions.
But yeah, no, I mean, obviously, he was a brilliant man. But yeah, he obviously had his own demons. And in the time he grew up, was completely different. You know, and now, you know, I'm not going to sit here and try to say I understand what black people are going through, but it's definitely a different time. You know, there's a lot more.
And I understand why black people are, especially inner city black people, are afraid of the cops.
Oh, I'm afraid of the cops. I'm a white guy who lives in the
middle
of nowhere.
Now, that being said, I also understand why cops are afraid of inner city black people.
Yeah.
I don't think that they'll admit to being afraid of them, but I think that a lot of them are. And
well,
I think that that's what's causing a lot of these shootings.
Yeah.
And just like anything, if you want to get over something you're afraid of, confront it.
Yeah.
If I want to get over my fear of snakes, I shove a snake up my butt.
Yeah.
That's the right way to do it, right? I don't know.
I think you're still thinking about that horse video.
I'm always thinking about that horse video. I now have an acute fear of horse cock.
Yeah. Jeez.
But that's the easiest way to kind of overcome it is just face it. And if we could just get these two groups that are so at each other's throats, just be like, hey, crazy idea. Talk to each other. You're all human beings. Fucking talk to each other.
Yeah, I mean I think that's a little bit more to it than that. But yeah, I think that could definitely help. In fact, there are situations where they've shown instances, like we were talking about that one in Richmond, California, where they kind of approached some of
they gave them a monetary incentive to stop breaking the law.
Yeah,
and it worked.
Yeah, it actually
it
and, you
worked
know, I mean,
really.
You
well.
Can argue against that all day long, but you can't argue with the results.
You can't argue with the results
because recidivism rate was much lower in that area than it's been in any other case.
Right.
Like, they were like 40% is fucking godly, and they were at like 60 or 70% that didn't, you know.
Well, and that's a particular town. They were able to narrow down basically all the crime to like 3 people.
Yeah. Well, it was like 30 people, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe. I had something written down. I'm trying to find it now.
Uh huh.
God damn it, Kim Jong Un. Fuck my pussy. Where is it? God damn it. Anyways, what was it about? It was about fear, strangely enough. But so far as you ever see, it seems to me that everybody, even our generation, mm-hmm. and we're young. We're youngish. Always says, the world's going to shit. Everybody's always afraid of that. Did you know that, like, the violent crime rate's, like, the lowest it's been in, like, 50 years in this country?
That's the thing. For me, like, I'm not the same. I don't view the world the same. I think the world's fucked regardless, but it has nothing to do with the times.
The world is so much better now.
Oh, absolutely. But it's not. It's not.
Except for environmental stuff.
It's not a criminal element for me. Like,
just evil human element.
No. Not even that. Just the. Everything.
Okay.
Like, I don't have a fear of it because I don't really, at this point, I don't really care.
Right. Okay.
I have a very nihilistic viewpoint when it comes towards, the future. And
with me, a lot of my fears come from me being pretty self-centered.
Yeah.
It's just like everything in this world is trying to kill me. No one else. Just me.
And I'm not going to try to, like, state this whole being an astronomer. I have a higher understanding. But when you research the things that I do and you see, like,
how insignificant you are.
Yeah, you are. Or you think about it. How big is this state? Huge. It takes hours to get across it.
Right.
How big is the state compared to the United States?
Nothing.
How big is the United States compared to the world?
Nothing.
Okay, think about how big the world is. It's fucking enormous how we understand life. Okay, the world is only 6,400 kilometers in diameter.
That's...
Actually, is that a radius or a diameter? I think it's a radius. I think it's actually a radius. But okay. Anyway, but you think, okay, even so, let's say 10,000 kilometers just to be easy. Okay, that's the size of the Earth. It is 150 million kilometers to the sun. So you're talking like a factor of 1,000.
I think I'm going
to
kill myself.
The sun is like 1,000 times. No.
The sun is gigantic.
The sun is huge. It's almost, it's like 700,000
kilometers. At least as big as a beach ball.
It's still nothing.
Compared to
the solar system.
Everything else.
The solar system is massive. Yeah. The solar system is nothing compared to the galaxy. Then you have the galaxy. You have galactic areas. Then you have the galactic region. You know, you get...
So really, what you're saying is understanding how gigantic everything is and how small you are is actually really comforting to you.
It is, for personally, because, you know, like...
But doesn't bother you the idea of, like, an asteroid hitting Earth and killing everything?
No. Because I don't believe in an afterlife, so I don't believe that there is anything after this.
But see, that's the thing. Like, one of the reasons I have so much fear about
death... I don't believe in a conscious afterlife, I should say.
Oh.
Your body is going to be reused by the universe. Your cells and atoms, everything gets...
Matter can neither be created nor destroyed.
Yeah, so everything gets redispersed into nature, and we become one.
That's the thing, though, regarding my fears about death. I think a lot of that is fueled by the fact that I don't believe there's technically an afterlife in terms of the spiritual sense.
Yeah.
And I think that if I did believe in that...
You think that would give you more comfort? I would think... Because
it would give me significantly...
See, this is a completely different conversation for a completely different...
No, it isn't. This is about fear.
Well, no, what I'm talking about... What I was going to go into was, like, religion. But the idea that you get comfort out of that just kind of boggles my mind. Why would you want to serve...
Oh, I get no comfort out of it because I don't believe in it.
No, but I mean people who do believe it. Why would you want to serve somebody for the rest of your existence? Like, for eternity.
So you can have an eternity in paradise.
But it's not what it is.
It's not?
Like, if you read what they're talking about, you're basically...
Okay, I don't read stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody has their own personal...
Sure.
You know, a definition of afterlife. In fact, actually, if you've ever seen the movie What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams...
Unfortunately.
If heaven was like that, I would be all for it. Because that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Although the whole suicide...
Wait, do I got to hang out with Cuba Gooding Jr.?
No. No.
Okay.
You can hang out with whoever you want.
Oh, okay. Then it would be Robin Williams.
The horse cop.
I have done nothing to deserve an eternity of horse cock.
Okay, you just told me during our break that you were going to never let that go. So guess what? Yeah. I'm going to use that against you and never let it go myself.
All right. I'm going to find something that you're scared of.
Only two things
this
scare
me.
And one is nuclear war. What's the other? Excuse me? What's the other thing that scares you? Carnies. Nomads, you know, smell like cabbage.
Small hands. I do actually know people that like midgets freak them out.
That's
I love midgets. They're so funny.
Well, no, it's 'cause it's the, again, it's back to that whole, it's back to that whole understanding of it's differences that kind of fuck with people, because when you live in a, everybody lives in a bubble. They don't understand, they don't think they do, but they do. Regardless of how traveled you are, regardless of how open you are, you have a bubble.
Yeah.
It might be bigger than other people's, but then you have some people, like, you've lived your entire life with normal sized people. Then you see this little tiny human that is exactly to scale, well, mostly to scale, but just smaller.
And hilarious to look at. Yeah. I don't understand how somebody can be afraid of one of those. Because they're so, if you're a little person that listens to this, you're the one.
Yeah. Peter Dinklage, by the way, if you're ever listening to this, when you probably never
will, you're
fucking awesome.
You're a phenomenal actor. I actually think I would suck your dick if I ever met you. I think I would do that. But they just kind of like wobble around on their teeny tiny legs and their gigantic heads. They're just so funny.
We're not talking about your son here. We're talking about midgets.
He is kind of a midget.
Currently.
But no, midgets, God bless you for existing. Yeah. You're nature's little fucking punchlines. Yeah. I love you so much. Fucking horse cocks. Fucking horse cocks.
Well, that's the show. Thank you very much for listening. Add horsecocks to my new list of fears that I have. I think it's just called horsecockophobia. It's basically whenever I go into a barn going forward, I have a feeling I'm probably going to simultaneously shit and piss my pants. Thanks, Sean. New episode is coming out this Memorial Day. We will put out a Memorial Day episode. It will be about food. We thank you guys so much for listening to this show. And just so you know, we are still planning to leave Podomatic. We're actually working on that right now. You should be hearing more about that in about a week. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/okfairenough. Follow us on Twitter at okfairenoughpod. Contact us by email at okfairenoughpodcast@gmail.com. And listen to the show at okfairenoughpodcast.podomatic.com. The show can also be downloaded there as an MP3 file. You can also listen to us through the Stitcher app. And I use Stitcher every day, and it's amazing. It works great. Thanks, guys, so much. We'll see you Monday. Have a happy Memorial Day. Yummy. Whoa. Welcome to OK Fair Enough with Sean and Charlie. I'm Charlie. The kids are still on hiatus. In today's episode, Sean and I discuss fear. Basically, I'm afraid of everything.